All right then, let's kick off. There we go. Get the levels right there. Third time I'm filming this, mate. Third time. Two attempts already. Frozen on me both times. Two full episode attempts. I think I've fixed it now. I've spent all day doing this equipment, trying to wrap my head around all this like podcast recording software and stuff. So I think I'm there. I think we got it nailed now. Also, quick disclaimer. I don't know what this bloke next door is doing, but he's making a lot of noise. I can't decide if he's building something or if he's having a scrap with three other geezers. So if you hear a bit of noise, no weird shit's going on, at least I don't think anyway, but it does sound like my bedroom wall could blow through at any minute now. So yeah, without further ado, let's get stuck in. Welcome to the first episode of Unbottled. All that this episode is going to be is me just talking to the camera, introducing what the podcast is, man. So I want to give you guys some context, really, because really this has kind of come out of nowhere for you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've just slapped this on my social media. I'm doing a podcast and I don't know, I feel like people are a bit confused. So I want to give you some context, explain what the podcast is about, the future of the podcast, where I want it to go, and just tell you a little bit about me, to be honest with you. My name's Mike, by the way. I mean, I don't know why I said that. You probably already know that because the only people watching this are my friends at the moment. So yeah, cool. Anyway, let's just get stuck into it. So it's going to be a podcast focused around mental health. I'm going to get more into, you know, the ins and outs of the podcast and the future of it a little bit later in the episode. I wanted to kick off really with my personal story and the journey I've taken over the past more or less 10 years to get to this point in my life where I feel like I want to start this podcast now. Do you know what I mean? I also found myself saying, do you know what I mean, quite a bit. So I do apologize if that's a recurring theme throughout the podcast. I will consciously try and reduce the amount that I say it. So look, my personal story with anxiety, I'll just get straight into it. I was about 18, 19 when I first started experiencing anxiety. It was stress related. And to give you some context of what I mean around that, I was basically working for quite a well-known bank here in the UK. And what I was doing was I was working full time for them and doing a degree alongside that. So I was working 9 to 5, 5 days a week, and then studying a full time degree on the evenings, weekends, you know, all long distance and all that stuff, which sounds great on the surface. But whew, I can assure you that it was not great. Well, I mean, obviously, it's great getting a degree that's, you know, it's paid for by the bank, but it just brought me a whirlwind of problems. It was so much stress. I was, you know, essentially square pegging in a round hole, to put it frank. And what I mean by that is, you know, I was going to a job every day that I just didn't really have any interest in, to be honest with you. And that caused a lot of internal friction for me, you know, having to put a mask on every day. I don't mean a physical mask. I mean, you know, like an emotional mask, if you will, whereby, you know, I've got to pretend to be, you know, on the ball. It's a customer facing job. And that just brought me so much friction in my life. You know, I was just doing something that I really didn't want to do. And all of that stress just kind of compounded within me. And the way that that manifested itself was through anxiety. And it was sort of on the train journey to work was when I first experienced my first sort of dose of a panic attack. Didn't really understand what was going on, experiencing all of these emotions. You know, if you've ever experienced anxiety, you'll know exactly what I'm saying, where, you know, your stomach gets tight, your heart's beating fast, you feel a little bit nauseous. And I didn't really know what to do, man. Like, I didn't know what the hell was going on. Do you know what I mean? I'd never really experienced this before. So naturally, as we all do, I just pretended it didn't exist. I just pushed it to the back of my mind and just bottled it up, which is ironic because the podcast is called Unbottled, which we'll get onto later. I just bottled it up, pretended that it wasn't there, which ultimately made it worse. And the turning point for me, well, I say turning point, the point where I couldn't hide it anymore from work was, I vividly remember my manager at the time, she sat me down. She goes, Mike, are you on drugs? And I was like, what? No. Why? And she was like, basically my behavior was that like erratic. You know, I was late to work most days. didn't really seem like myself when I was in work. And that was kind of a first question for me, you know. And I was like, well, no, I'm not on drugs, Ruth. I think I'm experiencing anxiety. I Googled it and, you know, checked the symptoms, sort of, I don't know, spoke to mum briefly about it. And yeah, that was it, man. That was when she was like, you know, she was very understanding. She said, oh, we can find you some help through work. You know, fortunately, there was some kind of like healthcare scheme, so I could kind of get help that way. So that was when I went to group therapy, which did me no favors at all, if I'm absolutely honest with you. I understand that group therapy can work for other people and has worked for other people. But for me personally, it just, you know, like I walked in there, four or five other people in the room with me. You know, I'm sat next to this bloke. I vividly remember he sat there and he says, you know, I'm lucky to be sat here right now. I nearly took my own life last night. And I'm there and I'm like, well, fuck me. You know, I get panic attacks on the train to work. Like, it caused me to like minimize what I was going through, because I was comparing my mental health to somebody else's. Do you know what I mean? So like the internal conversation that started going on in my own mind was like, you know, look how much worse things can be. Like, you know, you need to deal with this and, you know, basically that just, you know, get on with it. And ultimately what that led to happening was it made it a lot worse, and it started to seep into other areas of my life then, because I hadn't dealt with it properly, and it started manifesting in ways such as, you know, like social anxiety and things like that. So the real light bulb moment for me when I was going through it at that age, sort of 18, 19, was when I picked up a book called DARE. Now, DARE stands for an acronym. Can't remember what it is. I probably should have checked that before doing the podcast, to be fair. But if you're going through anxiety, I just highly recommend reading it, because what it does, it teaches you to reframe the way that you look anxiety, the way that you look at anxiety, in a completely different way. So what we tend to naturally do, I'm just going to make sure this is still recording, because I cannot be asked for this to freeze again. Yeah, lovely. We are still going. Okay, yeah. So what we tend to do, at least, you know, what I found I was doing was, if I was experiencing a wave of anxiety, my first initial reaction is like, like I don't want to feel this. Run away, like run away in my own mind from it. Like, you know, I don't want to feel this. Oh no, you know, make these feelings go away. I don't want this to happen. What this book teaches you to do, and this sounds weird when I say this to people, they're like, what? They don't really understand, but because it's just counterproductive. But what this book teaches you to do is, if you experience a wave of anxiety, it teaches you to go, give me more, which sounds so counterproductive. It's a joke, but that's that. For whatever reason, it just like short circuits what's happening in your own mind. So if you start to feel, you know, the tight stomach, your heartbeat going a bit, maybe you feel a bit nauseous, and your internal conversation is, yeah, give me more of this. It sounds mad saying it, but it worked for me. It wasn't the ultimate cure that meant I'd never experience anxiety again. It was just that sort of, you know, kick up the arse that I needed, that allowed me to approach certain situations that would cause anxiety to arise. But by using this, what sounds like a counterproductive method of, you know, sort of saying to your body, yeah, come on, like, give me more of this feeling, like, come on, let's go. It just allowed me to sort of deal with that anxiety in a way that meant that between the ages of 18 to 22, like when things got bad with anxiety, it just wasn't as bad as it could be. Do you know what I mean? It was, those 4 years were still very up and down. Do you know what I mean? There were still bouts where I'd have like entire months, you know, where anxiety would probably get the better of me. Other months, it was sometimes like it didn't exist. But that method and reading that book was kind of, you know, it worked better for me than group therapy. So yeah, if you are going through it, I'd highly recommend reading that book, because that worked for me. And I still try and use that technique to this day. So get to the age of 22. Me and the boys decided to go traveling to Australia. And at that point in my life, there was nothing more terrifying really than packing a bag full of everything you own and just moving your life to the other side of the world. But I did it. And it was the best thing I ever did for my anxiety. That was because what was once a mountain then becomes a molehill. Like I said, there's nothing more terrifying really than just moving your whole life to a completely random place that you've never lived before. But it allowed me to just, you know, jump straight into the deep end of a pretty scary situation. And like I said, what was once a mountain became a molehill. I was able to just deal with anxiety in a way that, like, you know, when you're out there, man, and you just got to get on with it. You're the other side of the world. Maybe it's, I don't know, whether it's the healthiest way of dealing with it or not, I'm not entirely sure, but, you know, you put yourself that much in the deep end that you just, you know, you come across situations where you don't really have a choice but to see them through. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, that kind of minimized my anxiety a lot, just packing my bags and moving to the other side of the world. And then that I was there for, I was there for 3.5 years. I'm back now. And I'm kind of at a point in my life where, you know, I still experience anxiety every single day. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But I'm at a point in my life now where I'm like, I'd just love to start something based around mental health and helping other people, which is why I'm starting this podcast. So before I get into this podcast and the future of it all and what it's all about, I just wanted to kind of give you a few more coping mechanisms that I embody into my day-to-day life that help me deal with anxiety to this day. You know, I'm not a master of it. Sometimes it does get the better of me. But by using these coping mechanisms, I've kind of like been able to turn it down a notch almost. So firstly, I want to talk about stress-based anxiety, which if you remember the start of that story, that's what my anxiety manifested from. It was me piling on too much workload, too much stress, trying to do 1,000 things at once, whilst also, you know, doing a job that I didn't really enjoy. But, you know, it was doing all this degree work. It was also I started a business on the side at the same time as well. And, you know, just trying to take on the world overnight, man. And what I try and do now is if I'm going to do something, you know, I'm a very, very impatient person by nature. But what I try and do now is I try and become 1% better at something each day. So, for example, this podcast, I've been talking about doing it for a while. And there's a reason it's taken a while to happen, because I've chipped away slowly at it and I've planned it carefully. And I didn't go about doing it in an overwhelming way. Because what I've done in the past, if I want to do something like this, start a business, start anything, I just want to do it overnight and just get it all done. But what I try and do now, and it does sound like something straight out of, you know, like a business self-help book, but it works, man. Just trying to become 1% better at something every day, because it's manageable. Do you know what I mean? You can do 1% of something that's going to compound over a month, over 6 months, and then a year into a lot of progress. Yeah, that's just a way that I manage stress-based anxiety, to be honest with you, is just chipping away slowly at things as opposed to trying to change the world overnight. We've got talking about anxiety. Well, talking about mental health full stop is just like one of the, if not the biggest things that's helped me deal with anxiety as well. You know, it's a really weird experience when your best friend of however many years, you know, you sit down, I don't know, you might have had a few drinks or whatever, and you sort of say, look, man, like I'm going through it with anxiety at the moment. I remember when this first ever happened to me and I was like, wow, this is just made it so much easier to deal with anxiety, because we sat down, you know, maybe we're a little bit drunk or whatever, so a bit easier to talk about things, and I open up about what I'm going through at the time, and then he's like, yeah, man, fucking same. And it's funny because you both do such a good job of masking it that you have no idea what's going on in that other person's world. And this sounds a little bit backwards and a bit weird, but you almost like find peace in their suffering. And I don't want that to sound like, you know, I wouldn't wish that sort of suffering on anybody else, but you find solitude in knowing that you're not alone in what you're going through, particularly when it comes down to someone like a very close family member or like your best mate, for example. So just talking about anxiety, just talking about anything you're going through, full stop. It's part of the reason I'm doing this, to be honest with you. Like, it just, when you don't talk about it yet and you like bottle it up and you're like, nah, I'm not even gonna, you know, not even a whisper, it turns it into like a scary thing, do you know what I mean? And you give it the power to have a grip on your life. But like, if I tripped over tomorrow, yeah, and like cut my knee open, like I'd call my mate on the night and be like, why, oh, like, you never guess what, mate, like I slipped over today and like, you know, proper hurt myself. And you know, you'd laugh about it. You'd be like, yeah, I don't know, probably not going to be able to walk for a few days. But at least, well, maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. But if I had like a panic attack, I'm probably not going to call him up 6 hours later and be like, ah, oh, you know, I had this mad panic attack earlier, man. Like, did I put me on my ass for like an hour? And that's kind of what I'm trying to get to, is like normalize the conversation around when we're all going through it. Do you know what I mean? And just make it a bit easier to talk about it, because by talking about it, you don't give it that power over your life. You just talk about it like it's just an everyday thing that you go through, which, because it is, it's just part of our lives, unfortunately, but it is what it is. Right, social anxiety, mate, as we all know, this is a motherfucker when it wants to be, man. When it crops up, it's not an easy thing to deal with. And again, you know, I am certainly no master of social anxiety. Still crops up here and there. But over the years, when it has cropped up, the way that I try and deal with it now, really, is I frame it like this. What I'm doing when I'm socially anxious going into a situation, yeah, is I'm thinking to myself, right, that person, I'm putting them on a pedestal. I'm putting their judgment, their validation, their opinion of me on a pedestal above my own opinion of myself. And I'm trying to get away from doing that. And I don't mean that in an egotistical way. I don't mean that as if to say like, ah, I'm better than other people and I don't care about what they think. Definitely not what I'm trying to get at. Because if that was my approach, I wouldn't have very many friends. What I mean by it is, it's very easy to fall into the trap, I find, of allowing other people's validation of you determine your level of self-worth. Do you know what I mean? There it is again. Do you know what I mean? Right. Last time I'm saying it now, I promise. So, yeah, I'm like, what I try and do is I reframe how I look at other people. And I'm like, well, I validate myself. I will determine my own self-worth. And look, if me and this other person, you know, we get on, we hit it off, then great. But like, my entire sense of who I am is not dependent on that, on validation coming from that other person. Doesn't mean I'm an egotistical fuck that doesn't care about other people's opinions. Doesn't mean I think I'm better than other people. It's just, I don't know, it just sometimes works for dealing with social anxiety. It's just saying like, look, man, I know who I am. And, you know, if me and this person get on, great. If we don't, sound, doesn't matter. I measure my own self-worth, and I got enough self-love to know who I am. And, you know, it is what it is. I hope I tried to explain that right. I don't know if I did a good job of putting that across. But yeah, social anxiety, that's kind of how I try and deal with it. And like I said, anxiety in general, look, like, I'm not a master of it by any stretch of the imagination. I still deal with it every single day. Some days more, some days less, but just a few coping mechanisms, man, that I try and embody into my life that I thought you might find useful. Few other things, just, you know, good sleep, exercising regularly, like the difference in my mood. If I'm feeling anxious, I can go for a run, come back, and it's like night and day. Same with sleep. If I've had a crap sleep, I'll know about it the next day. Anxiety is able to get, like, you know, into my head that much quicker because I'm drained of energy, you know. You know, eating well, And another thing that kind of switches my mood like night and day if I'm feeling anxious, it's just laughing. Like the other day, I can't remember what I was feeling anxious about, and I pulled up Sean Locke on YouTube, my like favourite comedian, rest in peace, and you know, just naturally laughing at what he was saying, and it's just such a good remedy for if you're feeling anxious, or you know, if you're just not in a great mood. I mean, of course, laughter's going to cure any mood, a bit obvious, Mike, but yeah, those are just some additional things that kind of, you know, when I'm getting good sleep, eating well, exercising regularly, you know, just these little habits that kind of contribute to just an overall feeling of just, you know, feeling a bit more on the ball than if I wasn't doing those things. So now I really just want to get into what this podcast is all about. So as I mentioned earlier with my own story, when I experienced all these things, bottled it up at first, didn't really talk about it with anyone. And in my experience, it was a really bad way of dealing with it. So hence the name Unbottled. If you've seen the podcast logo, you'll see there's like a load of different words on there associated with mental health. And there's like a cork popping off the top of the bottle, just kind of letting it all out. So that's just what I want to do really, is like just talk about things that, you know, we might not be that comfortable talking about in our day-to-day lives. And this podcast is more so about you, like the listener. You know, I don't want that typical barrier of a podcast where it's like listener and then podcast host. And there's like a barrier between those two things. It's like, it's about all of us. Do you know what I mean? I said it again. Like you, the listener, I want you to have as much, like this is your podcast. So like, if you have suggestions of like guests that you want on, questions that you want asked to those people, like by all means, just tell me, because I want it to, the future of the podcast, I want to be formed by all of us, because, you know, I might be going through something, but I've told you what I've gone through. Like anxiety is like my thing that I've gone through. But if you want more episodes on like depression and stuff, we can get some guests on that, you know, experts in dealing with depression, PTSD, all this sort of stuff, then by all means we can do that, because it's just what it's about really, like doing a bit of good for people. And I think back to, you know, little old 18 year old me sitting on that train to work, and I think about the way that I used to consume content, which was, you know, YouTube, Instagram, things like that. And I feel like if I'd seen another young bloke being quite open about what he's gone through, and then sort of getting other people on that podcast who have also gone through stuff, but have found a way to maybe deal with that stuff, deal with those things a bit better, I think that would have helped me a lot. I don't think there was anything like that sort of, you know, 9 years ago when I was going through it. Look, I don't have all the answers. Far from it. Like, I want to make that very clear. As I've said multiple times throughout the podcast, I still suffer with anxiety now. I'm far from having all the answers. But what this podcast is going to be is me looking for the answers, trying to get people on here that do maybe have some idea of what the answers could be, and me documenting that process. And like I said, I want you to be a part of that just as much as I'm a part of it as well. I don't want there to be that barrier between listener and podcast host. This is like a unified thing, which I think is important for the whole mental health scene, to be honest, is getting rid of that separation and instead just being like, just being a lot more open about what we're going through. So look, a couple of other things that I just want to box off before we end this episode. I want to give you more of an idea, firstly, of the sort of people that we're going to be getting on here. So next week, I've got a meditation teacher lined up. Going to talk about how meditation can help deal with stress, worry, anxiety. Week after that, I got a therapist lined up. I got a woman who has started a microdosing company, microdosing psychedelic mushrooms. So I want to get her on to talk about how her company is helping people, the impact that psychedelic mushrooms can have on depression, anxiety, PTSD, things like that. just like, I want to keep things really interesting, get some really interesting characters on who can ultimately, you know, potentially help all of us through anything that we're going through. I'm also going to be making some music. Now, if you're on the YouTube channel at the moment, you'll see it's just after this episode has gone up, it's just going to be the podcast at the moment. I got my first song dropping in a couple of weeks, so just keep an eye out for that. I mean, music for me at the moment is just something that I use, again, as another form of therapy. I just write about things that, the way I feel, the things that I've gone through, and kind of put that into music. So might be up your street, might not be up your street, but keep your eyes peeled for that coming soon. So if you've made it this far into the episode, I just want to say a massive thank you again, man. Like, I really do appreciate you listening this far in. Hopefully this has given you an idea of what this is going to be about, the direction of the podcast and where it's going to go. And hopefully you got some value from it. I always want anyone who's listening to walk away from an episode and be like, yes, I can go ahead and implement, go ahead and implement XYZ into my own life that could, even if it's just like, makes your life like 0.1% better, then done my job, mate. That's all it's about. So again, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And yeah, I'll see you in the next episode.